T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of
everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show here at 980 AM KMBZ, as well as on iTunes via podcast. And if you're listening online today at grillnationshow.com, we greatly appreciate it. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining us each and every week here on the Grill Nation Show. And as always, I hope you're having a great week and day today. And you can always find me on Twitter at Jason Grill. First off, before we get to our fun show today, I want to thank our partners and supporters who keep this show up and running. Great companies here locally and throughout the region. Title sponsors of the show are Trusts, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Companies, and Ryan Rink. Contributors of the Grill Nation Show include KCADC, the Kansas City Area Development Council, Brian Sarf from True Wealth and Companies, a guest host and honor contributor, and I think once in a while we hear from the Rieger and Jay Rieger and Co. and Ryan maybe. I hope to reconnect with him, and we'll have to get him on the show at some point soon. If you'd like to be a partner and supporter of the Grill Nation Show, you can always email me, just jasongrill@gmail.com. I'd love to get you on board here with the Grill Nation Show. Hopefully we'll have more partners and supporters and contributors as we go through the 2019 year. So on today's show, I'm joined by a friend and someone who is going to be coming on more frequently, hopefully in 2019, the last week of every month, to talk about local, national, and state events, current events, political topics, what people are talking about and trending. We're also going to have some really cool newsmakers on and have a lot of fun. And I'm bringing in now Annie Presley, who her and I worked on Fox 4 together in 2012 as the political commentators of the 2012 presidential election. We started in 2011, I believe, went through the whole primary process, and that was a lot of fun. You served as the Republican talking head. I served as the Democrat since then. We've kind of kept in contact. We have a lot of mutual connections. We kind of are in the same friendship groups, civic groups. You know what I'm trying to say here.
Golf.
Mizzou groups, golf groups. And we got to talking and we thought, you know what? It'd be kind of fun to get us together on the radio show to talk about current events, right?
Current events. Here we are.
Here we are. So, Annie, for those of the listeners who don't know about you, tell us about your background. I know you have a fundraising background, and you're also a publisher and author these days. So talk us through kind of your background and what you bring to the debate here today and the conversation.
So I grew up in Springfield, Mo, where politics was king, and ended up going to Mizzou, poli-sci major, and worked for 30 years as a professional fundraiser, mostly in politics and in nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I got to do a lot of really great activities and meet a lot of really amazing people.
You did that on a local and national level, correct?
Mostly did federal politics,
yeah,
and with the local nonprofits.
Okay. And you worked with the Bushes, is that right?
Well, that was kind of my big swan song. I was George W.'s deputy finance director, moving to Austin, Texas in April of 99, and I worked all the way through that recount and inaugural in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Pretty big time.
That was pretty exciting, right?
What's
funny
amazing.
Is I was an intern in the White House with Al Gore at the time.
Really?
So my whole future was changed because of you and that recount.
We were standing in the rain in Austin, Texas, waiting for the motorcade with the governor to come and be congratulated as the next president of the United States. And I guess while he was traveling in the motorcade, Al Gore called and said, "Never mind, I'm not quitting. And the motorcade turned around, and we all went and took showers, went back to the office, and started putting people on airplanes to Florida. Yeah,
time that
quite
was.
A night.
My girlfriend at the time voted for Bush. That was kind of heartbreaking.
Good on her.
So you did that, and then also obviously got to know the late, great George H. Bush Sr.
George Herbert Walker Bush.
George Herbert Walker. So, George H.W. Bush.
After George W. won, he was given the nickname 43 because he was the 43rd president of the United States. And it was in large part because we couldn't keep him and his dad straight.
Mm-hmm.
So his dad became 41. He became 43, and those nicknames stuck. And I did know 41 and Barbara pretty well. I volunteered a lot as an advance person over the years just because it was fun and they always needed people.
Mm-hmm.
And many of my clients loved the fact that I had access to all these folks. So I got to volunteer with them mostly and became friends with them over the years.
That's awesome. Very cool. For those of people listening that don't know what advance does, it's basically the logistics. Everything you see that happens, it's perfect, is planned out for weeks on end with site locations and pipe and drape and the
every,
whole nine yards.
The guest list.
We've
both
been involved in that, and it's a lot of work.
A lot of work. I spent 2 weeks doing an advance day for Mrs. Laura Bush and Mrs. Putin in Moscow for one day of activities. It took us 2 weeks to get it planned. Of course, we had to have translators.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting.
So you did all that, and then you came back here, and tell us about what happened next. You did some public affairs work, you're involved in government, and then fundraising and whatnot for different people here locally on the nonprofit and political world, and then started writing books.
Right. After the presidential, there's really nowhere else to go unless you want to do it again.
Or move to D.C.
And I didn't want to do it again. I was actually a volunteer on the 2004 campaign and co-chaired the Missouri Finance effort, which was a big one. But then I decided to continue working as a consultant. And in the process, I met a gal who we decided to write a book. And we did. And so we've now written 4 books together, mm-hmm. and I have my first children's book coming out in March as well. So
mm-hmm. I've seen a copy of it.
Very, very cute.
About dogs.
Sam gets adopted.
Okay.
It's the story of the older black mutt we adopted and changed our lives.
And then your other books were about planning, correct?
The Read This series of guided journals are books that you fill out.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, Read This When I'm Dead. You tell about yourself, your stuff, your funeral wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Sold a ton of those.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very helpful. Very practical. Leave it for your people. The next one, Read This on Our Anniversary. Perfect gift for Valentine's Day coming up. And you tell about your how you celebrate, what's working, what's not working. Read This on Your Birthday.
Mm-hmm.
This is one you fill out for a little kid every year on their birthday and then give it to them on their 21st birthday. And they'll see milestones in their lives and favorite
food.
It's
got a handwritten, great things to look back on and for... For the future, with the first book, you know, planning stuff is important, and no one does any of that in advance for the most part, unless they're really organized.
Basically, lots of assets are lost, so our books help
solve
that problem.
Very creative idea.
And then the most recent is Read This About My House, and this tends to be everyone's single biggest asset, and you fill that out, telling about changes that you've made, renovations, advancements, vendors, paint chip colors, all that sort of thing. There's also a whole section on stories about animals and fun you've had in the house. And the realtors really like that as a closing gift. All these books are available at Hallmark stores in the Kansas City area and Rainy Day Books.
Very cool. Wow. I got to get all of this.
Good.
I need to get
a
copy. I have the first one, which I haven't filled out yet. But the house one's cool with my new house. I'm putting in all this work into it. You're kind of like, wow, let me keep track. What have I done?
That's right. So when you go to sell your house, you can't remember the investment you've made in it, and you leave money on the table. Also, you can't remember which vendors you liked and you didn't like, and it's very helpful in that regard as well.
Okay, we're going to have to check that out. Annie Presley, what's the website for your books, Annie?
Readthis.guru.
.guru, okay.
Right, we are the gurus.
We're going to be talking all about current events locally, nationally, on the state level. We're going to have some fun here on the Grill Nation Show. Thanks for listening on 980 AM. We'll be right back.
Magic in the air.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you listening today on 980 AM. Also, if you're joining me at the gym in your car or doing errands or whatever you're doing on iTunes, we greatly appreciate it. And on podcasts as well as at grillnationshow.com, where you can find links to all of my shows, my guests, our partners and supporters, and much more information. We always like to hear from you on grillnationshow.com or on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. I'm joined today by Annie Presley, who this is the first time we've kind of decided to do a local, state, and national current event show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Annie is on Twitter at Annie Presley. She defines herself as an author, political strategist, TV talker, Missouri Tiger, bad golfer. That's not true. You're a beach lover and a happy wife as well. Annie, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So we've done this in the past on TV. We've been on Ruckus together. We've been on Fox 4. We might have been on a few other topics, but we kind of grew close through those debates and those talks, and now we're kind of trying to bring that to radio because we feel like on radio there is no real format these days for current events, kind of.
Just ongoing current events.
Yeah. Well, there is. It's more about entertainment, right? There's a handful of things, but we're trying to build all that together here on today's show. And I want to talk about local events first. We're going to do local first segment. We've got a big mayor's race coming up in 2019. It's kind of been pushed under the rug because of the midterms last year and because of the snowstorms and because of the Chiefs. Those things are, well, snowstorms, we don't know if those are over, but a lot of those things are now over. And it's kind of becoming to come to the forefront, right? And so you have, what, 10 people running, 10 to 12 people running.
It may be as many as 16 now.
Okay.
With people still considering getting in.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But we kind of have our group of people. There's six council people running. There's a handful of outsiders. Let's talk about kind of where it stands. The election's April 2nd in Kansas City, Missouri. These are notoriously low turnouts.
Indeed.
Where if somebody knows your name, it's like 8 or 9%. Votes in some of these districts. It's ridiculous.
Interestingly, in this race, the candidates have to go stand in line on the day to file, and the first person who gets filed is at the top of the ballot.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So who is that? Do we know? I don't know yet.
I can't remember. I think I may have read it, but I'm not even sure it's been revealed. So whomever, and you can file anywhere. You can go to any courthouse. You can go to the election board. So people spread out all over the city to go and file. But
there's a lot of city council people running. We have six of those. Wagner, Taylor, Justice, Lucas, Kennedy, and Jermaine Reed. And then, you have a handful of outsiders like Phil Glenn and Steve Miller, amongst others. Clay Chastain's running again. I mean, there's just all kinds of people running, which is actually a good thing because the last race, mayor had no opposition, and the low turnout cost us with ballot initiatives and how easy it is to get something on the ballot. But I feel like there's four or five different front runners. I'm going to put these out for you to comment on. In my opinion, you have Joey Justice, Quentin Lucas, Steve Miller, maybe Scott Wagner, and then potentially a Phil Glenn. So those are the top four to five, I think. And you have your favorites as well.
Well, it comes down to money. Yep. And Joe Lee has by far raised the most and has the most in the bank at this time. Steve Miller is kind of a light second, and after that it goes downhill pretty quickly.
But I will say this, Quentin and a couple others have a ton of money on hand from their other stuff, right? And so maybe they didn't raise as much this last quarter, but they still have over $200,000 in the bank they can spend. And so they're going to be competitive. Steve Miller, Quentin, Jolie, Wagner, those people are going to compete. I mean, we're going to have a real race. And now obviously Jolie's tier one front runner, according to everyone that's because of her time in the Senate, because of her time in the city council, because of her connections in the kind of the corridor area. But Steve Miller is the outsider, and Quentin are both smart guys, and they're going to be challengers too.
So it's kind of what's going on nationally now, mm-hmm. is the characterization of the shiny new object. Mm-hmm. In this case, Steve Miller would be the quintessential shiny new object coming to a mayoral race out of the blue.
And he has Republican and Democrat connections.
He does. Mm-hmm. And he had some great experience at the state level on the Missouri Transportation Board. So he is not a complete novice, but he's definitely the shiny new object. And then just juxtapose him, I'd say, to Jolie, who's the front runner of incumbents. And that's pretty much what it's going to boil down to in my mind.
Okay. And you've got candor support of Joe Lee as well, who I was supporting when he was in the race, but he's not in there anymore. So there's a lot of good candidates, and I've got a chance to work with a lot of these people through my day job. And it'll be an interesting race.
Well, they're all good people. Honest.
Yeah.
They all have great credentials. It's just boiling down to name ID, which is very, very important, and cash.
So you'll be seeing more signs, more mailers, more billboards here in the near future.
We're
going to keep up to date on that, obviously, and be following that. It's going to be a close race, and obviously the big shoes to fill. No matter how you feel about Sly James as mayor and what he's done, he is a very strong person on the national stage for Kansas City. I go to a lot of these mayor's conferences, and every mayor knows who he is. Every mayor talks to him. Every mayor knows Kansas City is doing great things. And part of being mayor of Kansas City is you have to be a cheerleader because you're one vote of 13. It's not a strong mayoral system. So you better keep branding Kansas City and be out there bringing events to Kansas City and telling the story.
You are the face of Kansas City at the national level.
Love it.
And he was a shiny new object, you may recall.
He was kind of that outsider but insider because he was involved in a lot of stuff civically, I think, and then but never been elected.
So
I remember meeting Sly at one of my first trial attorney events when I was a young buck trying to raise money as a state legislator.
So just for purposes of discussion, we need to say that only two of these will go forward on the primary ballot. So
right.
It's just
nonpartisan.
Yep. You're not supposed to be a part of a party, and only two will advance.
To the general, which will be like a month or two later, correct?
I think it's in August.
No. It's like May, June, I think. It's earlier. Mayor
well,
June.
Guess we got to check on that.
We need to check on that. But anyways, we'll get to that point when we get to that point. Annie, I want to continue on local. We have about 4.5 minutes left. Let's touch on the UMKC Conservatory. I know that's near and dear to your heart as somebody who likes the arts, but it was supposed to be in downtown in the Crossroads. I was all pumped up about this, and then Governor Greitens didn't fund it, the budget.
Right. He vetoed the bill that would have established the downtown campus across from the Kauffman Center with a number of very generous gifts that had been accumulated. And it was all systems go until that governor decided it wasn't. And they had to scrap it and start over. And I'm actually pretty pleased with the decision to keep it on the main campus, what they call the Volcker campus. But it basically will face the Nelson and just continue that arts corridor there that's being
performing. Oh, is that where
arts.
It's going to go? It's across from the Nelson?
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be on campus, but it basically will face the Nelson. So, yes, it's fantastic.
It is cool. Downtown is a lot more developed than it was, I think, when they were going to put it there, too. It would have been cool to have that downtown campus, but I get the point here, what we're doing here, too. So,
well, they were poised to make it happen. That wasn't the issue. So now they... Credit to UMKC and all of its volunteers on this particular project. They have regrounded themselves and found a way to go forward because it's necessary. You know, people don't know that UMKC's performing arts program is in the top five in the country and constantly compete with Yale and others. And so we're in desperate need of new facilities. So this will solve the problem.
UMKC is such a huge asset that we need to, as somebody who travels and sees other big cities that are making good charges, they usually have a strong research university in their footprint. UMKC hasn't been that, and hopefully it'll grow and be a dominating force so Kansas City can produce talent and keep talent here, and more companies will look to UMKC for jobs.
You know, Governor Parson has been talking a lot about how to get workforce-ready people, and these students at UMKC... ideally stay in Kansas City. So engineering is growing, computing is growing. Our health care program, of course, at Hospital Hill is extraordinarily successful. There are lots of great activities going on at UMKC that people can be very proud of.
And hopefully those rules will make the NCAA tournament at some point. We're Mizzou people, so we'll see.
We'll keep trying.
So, Annie, I want to keep things moving here. This is the part of the show we love. It's moving fast and furious. Paseo is getting renamed to the MLK Boulevard, right?
Junior. Right.
MLK Junior Boulevard. This was a very contentious decision. It seemed to me they had to come to a final conclusion, the city council, and they voted to approve it while the mayor, I believe, was in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Conference of Mayors Conference. So in about 6 months, you're going to be seeing new exits that say MLK Junior Boulevard, Martin Luther King. I don't know, they have to abbreviate it at some points. But, you know, every time I've been driving down the Paseo or getting off on the highway, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of signs you got to change. What are your thoughts?
Well, everybody came out on this kind of up and down and sideways, but the outcome is that I think they need to get state approval,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure they have that lined up. And there are a lot of people in that community who weren't real excited about it. The Paseo is a historic boulevard in Kansas City. There's a lot of Kansas City history there. So I'm hopeful that people embrace the change and are happy about it. I'm not sure it's the best
location
thing to be named after MLK, but it is what it is.
It's passed now. And one thing, too, I want to mention is, well, I lived in an apartment once up north, and the brand new apartment, and they screwed up the street, like for the firefighters to come, and the actual number was like 63rd or 64th or something. It got screwed up. That was a pain in the butt to actually change all of your everything. You're not, if you own a business, you got to change your LLCs. You got to change your, all your billings. You got to change everything. You got to change your driver's license. I mean, it kind of becomes a hassle. So I feel for the people who do live on the Paseo, who have to go through all of those changes to all of their documentation.
Sure, even down to your personal stationery and your checkbook.
Everything has to be changed. Some people forget about that, the actual logistics, not only the signs, but it's all those people on that street, businesses on that street. Everyone has to change all of their stuff with the Secretary of State's office, the Driver's Bureau. I mean, it's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot.
It's a big decision to make that change.
I think there was just a lot of pressure to have something named after MLK.
Yes.
And so that's what we got.
That's what we got. We're talking to Annie Presley today on the Grill Nation show. We'll be right back with more state and national issues.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show here on 980 AM KMBZ and also on iTunes via podcast and at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you joining us today. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. We're talking current events, local, state, and national with Annie Presley, who is a author and a TV talker and political strategist. She does it all. Right, Annie? What's your website again for your books?
Read this dot guru.
Check it out. Annie's going to be joining me hopefully here once a month to talk about stuff going on in Kansas City and throughout the country. Let's talk a little national news and current events this week. We have a presidential race that's already kind of taken off, and in 2020, a lot of people are jumping in. We'll get to the Democrats and Republicans here in a second, but Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks, former CEO of Starbucks, went on 60 Minutes and is flirting with running for president as an independent, and it's really frustrating people on the left. Is not.
Making him nervous, I think.
Why? Because he was a longtime Democrat. He's donated to many Democrats. He's pulled apart. One of President Obama's former chief strategists and deputy press secretary has now gone to work for him and is getting tons of backlash, even from people like David Axelrod. They believe that if this guy gets in, it will help reelect Donald Trump. What do you say, Annie, on this whole thing?
Well, I understand why they're nervous, because he was a Democrat and he has legitimate issues. As a youngster, he grew up in the projects. He had a not really nice dad, and he made it. He pulled himself up and made it big. So he's talking about self-funding his whole presidential. And that does make everybody who has to spend so much of their time out fundraising very, very nervous.
He's a billionaire.
Multi-billionaire.
And so some of the talking points against him now you're hearing from the left are, we don't need another billionaire in the White House. No, maybe Trump really isn't a billionaire. We don't know. We've never seen his taxes.
We don't know.
But that's the fear. And you even have people like Michael Bloomberg, who was a Republican, then an independent, now potentially going to run as a Democrat, blasting this. People are blasting this guy from everywhere.
Well, he's new, and he's a shiny new object. This is something that is actually working right now. Donald Trump was sort of a shiny new object, but he had amazing name ID. This guy comes out of nowhere as a shiny new object. But Starbucks, which he started and still owns, is everywhere. I think he's in 70 nations.
He's getting backlash, though. People are boycotting Starbucks or saying nasty things to this guy. Frankly, okay, it's as a Democrat, I've always been a moderate Democrat. And I'll tell you what, if the left, if there's a left-wing Democrat on the ticket or a right-wing Donald Trump. I mean, a lot of people I know won't want to vote for either candidate. Exactly the same thing happened in 2016, where people were, now I voted for Hillary, but a lot of people were, I'm not voting for either candidate. So they ended up voting for the third party person. There was a lot of people, at least in my demographics, in my generation, right around 40 years old, who are tired of parties. They're not political people. They think both parties stink. So a guy like this, he might be a Ross Perot and kind of shake it up. Although Ross Perot
Ross Perot.
He did not win one electoral vote, but he did get what, like 17 to 20% of the vote?
He wrecked it for 41.
My point is that there's an appetite for more of this moderate, let's get along, let's actually make things happen mindset.
There's a consensus that about 40% of the public now kind of considers them some sort of a moderate Republican or a moderate Democrat, which means everybody else is crazy on both ends of the spectrum. Totally, totally liberal, totally, totally conservative. So this middle ground is growing, and I think that's what the Starbucks CEO sees, is that he can play to that. And you and I are perfect examples of this. I'm a very moderate Republican. You're a very moderate Democrat, and we probably would be attracted to him just because he's going to talk to us in a way that we haven't been spoken to in quite a while.
Yeah, it's kind of what what's his name's doing, Kasich, and on the right, and what Hickenlooper's doing on the left. He's going to decide summer or fall after a book tour. He's going to test the waters. He's going to go around the country. He's going to do what's necessary. So that'll be interesting to follow. Obviously, the viability of a third party run is not very likely as far as winning, but maybe this is a sign of things to come in our country.
The biggest trick on running as third party is getting on every ballot. That is a whole machine in and of itself.
He can focus on that, though, instead of having to raise all the money.
Certainly.
He's got tons of money.
He'll have to have a whole crowd of people get that done.
He will. Annie Presley is with me. Annie, we'll talk, if we have any time left in this segment, about other candidates in the Democrat and Republican parties. But let's talk about this shutdown and what it means. Currently, it's over, but there's like a three-week time period that they're going to have to decide. What do you make about the shutdown and its effect on what's going on throughout the country?
Well, it's clear that the president has far less power than he thought. And that's part of being new to the business. And it's also clear that Congress is unable to get along. So the victims are basically all the people who, either as employees who didn't get a paycheck, or coffee shops who didn't have the employees come and buy a cup of coffee, and all the services and goods that are contracted to the United States government, they are the victims. Mm-hmm. And that's, we're dealing with that victimhood right now. And it's not pretty.
It's not. And what do you think is going to happen in the next 3 weeks?
Well, hopefully,
when we air, it'll be about 2 weeks.
Someone will actually have a plan that everybody can come to an agreement on. I'm hopeful, but I'm not sure who that is. When you have Pelosi and McConnell running the House and the Senate, and the president tweeting, we're just not making a lot of movement here.
Mm-hmm. And people on the Democratic side are arguing, you know, you could have done this when you had every party in the House, the Senate. Could have got your wall funding. You could have done all these things. Maybe it wouldn't have been exactly what you wanted, but now it's like, wow, he's lost some of his bargaining power.
I think it was a rookie mistake for him to not recognize that it would be harder after he lost the House, which is very common in the first president's midterm, which he did in typical fashion. And so just kind of a rookie mistake on his part.
That goes to the wall argument. That'll be interesting. The obviously, the extremes on this issue really frustrate me as well.
You know, one of the things that the president is not doing well and his team is not doing well is actually describing the wall. So I think about, you know, the Great China Wall, which is 10 feet wide and 6 feet tall, and you can ride a bike on top of it. These walls that are promoted are technologically electronic.
They're high standard.
They're way different than a concrete wall.
Mm-hmm.
They're see-through. And what's happening is no one really understands. They think we're building the Great Wall of China instead of the technological.
Well, Donald Trump tried to tell us he was the most He was the smartest man in the world about technology the other day, and you might have missed it.
I must have missed that.
I'm totally buying
I'm
that.
Sure he is. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know him. I've never met him. I didn't raise money for him because I had already started on the books. But
I have met him.
His method of communication is very challenging.
Mm.
Mm. What'd you think of him?
I thought he was this is just superficial things. I didn't have a deep conversation with the guys, you know, shook his head. You saw him, you know, at the airport. Thought he was smaller in real life. I thought he'd be a bigger man, like fat, but he wasn't. He was more stout and big.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. His hair was a little thinner than I thought it'd be, Annie.
That's interesting.
But he was so Donald Trump. I'll tell you what he was saying. He was telling us how great we were.
I have a number of friends, actually, Dole people and Bush people who are in the Trump White House, and they love him. Yeah. They think he's awesome.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So what we see is something different than what's going on inside.
For sure. That's always the case. Okay, State of the Union, we're going to skip over that topic. I don't think that's going to happen. Presidential race, there's a ton of Democrats filing. To me, I don't feel like I'm squarely in any of their camps as far as actually winning the actual general election. You have Kamala Harris, you have, gosh, who else? Bernie's going to get in. You have, there's so many of them.
There are maybe 20 people.
Castro, you have the mayor of South Dakota, or South Bend, Indiana, who I've met.
Biden.
Mayor Pete. Biden's not in yet, though. So the people that are in, they're not getting me excited.
Well,
maybe that's because I'm a moderate and I believe in winning the election and having someone I can count on that's going to do it.
The first activity is to go to the early primary states, New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, and go up and go around and meet people. And basically, this is a process called shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically are shopped by your fundraising team in these different locations to see if people will actually write a check. And this is where the rubber meets the road in these early activities, because if you don't raise any money there, there's no future on the.
Do you think that Donald Trump will have a challenge?
From the Republicans?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure somebody will.
John Kasich, Mitt Romney, maybe?
Certainly,
they're not going to run if they can't win, right?
No. They would be fools, and it doesn't help. It depends a lot on how Trump does in the next year. This year will make a lot of difference, but there will be people going around looking and talking. And I would say that we're going to get somebody unusual too, like Liz Cheney, maybe, or perhaps some of these younger people in the Senate. There's a great guy. I don't think he'd go for it, but he's a great guy in the Senate named John Barrasso from Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he'd challenge him, but certainly he would be a capable president. We'll just have to wait and see.
We're going to have a lot of candidates to piece through. A lot of Democrats. And I'm just focused on winning, and whether that's an independent or a Democrat, you want to see a Republican win, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see if any people from your wing of the party challenge the president or not. We'll have a lot to talk about with that. Annie Presley is joining me on the Grill Nation show today. Check her out at Annie Presley on Twitter. After the break, we're going to talk about state government and state and local issues here on the Grill Nation show. If you've been enjoying the show today, we'll be right back with more Grill Nation. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining me each and every week here on 980 AM on the radio, as well as on iTunes via podcast and at our website, grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you connecting with us on Twitter, again, at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. We've been joined by Annie Presley today. We're doing a show focused on local, national, and state current events. If you have any ideas, thoughts, comments, things you want us to talk about on the show, you can email me at jasongrill@gmail.com. You can reach out to Annie. She's on social media. She's got an email. She's got a phone number as well. We want to be upbeat in this conversation, and we want to talk about issues that are current and that interest you. So, state local affairs and issues. Missouri has a tax issue, Annie. I don't know much about this yet, but you do. So tell us about it.
Well, turns out that when the tax tables were printed for 2019, an error was made in them, and a number of people, taxpayers, are actually being under withheld for their taxes for this year. Last year, 2018. So what's going to happen is on April 15th, when their taxes are due, a lot of people who are in the habit of getting a refund actually are going to owe. And the state is struggling to figure this out. The revenue for 2018 is down $400 million in the state of Missouri. And this is what has to be made up by the taxpayers because of this printing error in the tax table.
Gosh.
That's a lot of money.
That's not good.
And if you're in the habit of, you know, going on your vacation with your tax refund or paying off a car or whatever, and you end up owing and you just don't know it, it's the surprise element that is just going to be absolutely brutal.
I can't remember the last time I had a tax refund. Well, I pay a bunch at the end of the month, at the end of the tax time.
Lots of people overwithheld so that they have a kind of a savings plan.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they did overwithhold this time, they may just come out even and not owe.
Yikes.
But those who don't overwithhold are probably going to owe. And regardless, everybody's going to be surprised.
When you have to sit down as a business owner and do your taxes, usually around February because March 15th they're due. And then April 15th, man, it's just not a fun process.
Yeah, it's a lot of
work. I hate getting all that stuff ready for the accountant, but it's good to do it now when it's cold out, right?
Well,
fortunately, it's going to be 60s, which stinks here pretty soon. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, but not doing our taxes and not getting rebates, right?
Well, tax season is never good, but this error caused by the government in their printing, whomever.
It's the state of Missouri.
It's not good. It's the state of Missouri.
Kansas is also having tax conversations.
New governor, Laura Kelly, one of her big
elected
topics.
Elected by Missouri, or by Republicans and Democrats in Kansas. Talk to us about this. Kansas is going to have potentially a projected tax increase.
So Sam Brownback's Brownback, the former governor, followed by Lieutenant
Collier.
Governor Collier, they had this experiment where they reduced the taxes and ended up just emasculating some traditional strongholds, including public education and infrastructure. So Laura Kelly's searching for ways to solve this problem. The state has begun to rebound, but they haven't really recovered completely, and she's looking for different ways to get the state back on track.
But she's more of a moderate Democrat, correct? She got Republican support, so you know, I'm assuming she's not going to raise taxes too much. She'll find ways to carve it up.
Well, they'll end up doing something because she ran on that,
but
I don't think they have the solution figured out just yet.
We'll have to stay tuned for that.
And again, there are Republicans in her legislature, so
they
should have a lot to look at.
Yes, they will. Annie, one of the talking points that we've seen come out of Topeka, Kansas, is this daylight savings time being changed, which I actually think if it was a national thing, it'd be cool.
Well, nationally,
like if every state just said we're not, if the whole government said we're not doing this anymore, it'd be cool. But the fact is, you know, you have borders. Now, you mentioned in show prep that Arizona does this.
Yes, they never, ever agreed to change their time. So
this is amazing to me.
They have always been on the original, what you'd call standard time.
So the states around it, they have different time zones.
Yeah, and they change when you spring forward and fall back.
Okay, but it hasn't really screwed up Arizona.
Well, actually,
has it?
For those cities who are on state lines and you have a meeting, so let's say you're in Fairway and I'm in Westwood, or I'm in Brookside, and we have a meeting, and it's 9 o'clock in Brookside and it's 10 o'clock in Fairway. What time's our meeting?
You just treat it like,
where are we?
You're on the Eastern time zone. I'm on the Western time zone.
Yeah, or Central.
Or Central, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to treat it like that.
So, but every time you had a meeting in a different state, you'd have to think about what time it is here and there. And honestly, it seems simple, but it won't be. It won't. I mean, it's like calling New York or California. You have to think about it.
For it to really be implemented, it has to be a federal change.
A federal change.
For the whole country, does it?
And the reasons they did it so many years ago were legitimate at the time. It had to do with lighting and school. And
farming.
All that kind.
So now, what would it mean if you get rid of it? You lose daylight many times of the year. Like, it would get dark at like 4 o'clock in some places.
Because
and that's not fun. Going home from work when it's dark is worse enough. Plus, you got to get your golf in the summer, Annie.
Well, that's
till
true. Until
9 o'clock, right?
Till 9 o'clock. That's right.
Annie Presley is with me today. A few minutes left in the show. Marijuana, we've been talking about this. The state of Missouri is having a procurement process right now for medical marijuana for dispensaries and growth operations. This is an issue that's really kind of taken to the forefront. And you had some stats on what it could mean on a federal level as far as financial stats of what it compared to alcohol and revenue and tax dollars for this country. What, tell us about that.
So medical marijuana is quite different from recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. If you use medical marijuana, you have to have a doctor who writes a prescription, and you have to find a vendor who actually provides that type that's needed. So maybe I would want to go and get migraine medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. So I'd go to my neurologist. They'd have somebody who does it. And you could get it in Missouri for medical purposes. Recreational marijuana is just like booze, basically. You just can go and buy it.
And Colorado, Washington State has it, yes.
Right. New York is kind of getting teed up for it right now. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that's moving is amazing in growth, both in the medical side and the recreational side. So right now, the alcohol business is about an $80 billion business. Marijuana in general is being projected in another 20 years as being a $50 billion business. It's really convoluted as a result of the fact that marijuana is not legal nationally. Mm-hmm. These states have gone ahead and made them legal either as recreational or as medical. Mm-hmm. But they can't bank in federal banks because it's illegal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of money's going to Canada and it's banking up there. And there are some state banks who can run it through. It tends to be a cash business, mm-hmm. which is very difficult to move. And there's going to have to be some federal legislation.
There's going to be all kinds of regulations.
Oh, my goodness.
But
yes.
But I will say this as we close the show. We talked about the national presidential race, and Bloomberg's going to run probably as a Democrat. And he came out against marijuana, which I thought was crazy, because if I'm a Democrat, if Democrats made that marijuana issue more like Republicans have made guns and these other wedge issues. I mean, just think of with the popularity of it now, it's becoming more mainstream, kind of like gay marriage did at one point. You could grab onto that issue if you're a Democrat and get a ton of votes, in my opinion, in a primary. You cannot be against it in a primary and win. So I don't
probably
know what Bloomberg's
not.
Thinking.
So Bloomberg's definitely running. He's definitely running as a Democrat, and he has said he's going to self-fund. And I get a newsletter from his guy every day telling me why Bloomberg's the great presidential candidate.
I think his time has might have passed. I think last election cycle might have been his time.
I might have to agree with you on that one.
We'll talk more about that on next month. Annie Presley has joined me today on the Grill Nation show. Annie, I had a lot of fun today. We sprinted through that show, but we're going to talk local, state, and national government, current events, local events, fun times, fun, exciting topics on the Grill Nation show today. I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you so much.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yep.
We'll see you again next week here on the Grill Nation show. Each and every one of you have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.